Good morning. This is Chuck Camerata here with the Next 2.0 podcast. And we're sitting with Susanna Faulkner here this morning at the MLK Center. Because we have no power at the studio still. And that's an ongoing issue and problem that we got to deal with. But we're here to talk to Susanna about the recent appointment of Mel Witherspoon to City Council and how that kind of all fell out and what are the issues that go along with that. So I'm going to ask Susanna to kind of explain the process to us, first of all, and then we can explore a little bit about the implications of the decisions that have been made in the last few days. So my understanding, Susanna, is, and by the way, welcome, Susanna.
Thank you so much for having me.
My understanding is that because of the fact that we needed to appoint someone to a two-year term, and that was kind of baked in to the election last year, and you can explain some of that in a moment. We had a situation where City Council was planning to, at the behest of the mayor, was planning to have a process where they would interview people and then make some decisions on who they'd like to have be part of the City Council. And the mayor then, 24 hours later, changed his mind about that and just appointed Mel Witherspoon. So at least from the outside, it felt like kind of the old boys network just kind of kicking in and doing its thing without regard to the voice of the people. So tell us about the process, your perception of the process, and what we would like to, how the process ought to work better.
Yes, happily. I think it's one of those situations where it's definitely getting the necessary public attention it needs. And this is one of those lessons for Erie of we need to be paying that level of attention at all times.
Yeah.
And so this has been written in the cards since Liz Allen resigned, essentially. So with her resignation came the less than 1 year appointment. I went through that process. There were over 20 of us who applied. We had some initial assignments to do about the vision that we had for the job, things like that, an application. We went through public interviews before council. They did a ranked choice vote, and I was shocked and very grateful to come out on top of that and be sworn in to serve for 10 months on council.
So you were part. You were the result of the process done properly.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so, unfortunately, per city code, there aren't particular steps or processes for how the appointment process works. It essentially leaves it up to the discretion of the City Council president. And so at that time, back in January, February of 2023, when Chuck Nelson had just been sworn in as City Council president, he decided to follow the precedent of the last few appointments. And Mayor Schember initially was appointed to council through the same type of public interview process. And so this has been followed essentially for a couple, you know, even more than a couple of years now, possibly even over a decade. So following that precedent, even though it's not written in city code necessarily. And so there were efforts come December to follow that process again. The reason that it wasn't broadcast until January was to try to quicken the process a bit. So those applications became live to apply for the open seat on council come December. They were due December 22nd. And it was quite a shock for many of us. There were 13 of us who applied, myself and Mr. Witherspoon included, when before we even heard anything about interviews, we saw on the next meeting agenda that there was a resolution to directly appoint Mel instead of going through the public process.
So how did we get to that place where we needed to appoint someone? We just had an election.
Right. We got to that point because of Pennsylvania's weak election laws. So we do not have any election laws barring you from running for multiple seats.
So who How did that happen? Who ran for multiple seats?
Mr. Ed Brzezinski. And so he ran for both the four-year term and the two-year term.
Why would he do that?
The main goal for doing that would be to control the outcome of the appointment. So by running for both seats and winning both of them, there's no longer someone on the ballot to vote for. You have to vote for the same person. Now, the same person can't do two jobs on the same council. There's no way to clone Ed Brzezinski. But there is a way to essentially clone his decision-making power through the appointment process. Okay. So stripping the voters, I can't remember the exact number, but our population is just shy of 100,000. Yeah. So stripping the voters of choice in the November election so that only six members of council choose the next seventh member of council. And we didn't even go that far.
We didn't. Yeah.
We got three and the mayor.
Yeah. So what do you suppose changed that led the mayor to circumvent the process?
I think he was under a lot of pressure. Okay. There is definitely more of a divide on council this year than there was last year. I'm really proud to say that in those 10 months I was on council and just the year on council, 16 pieces of legislation were passed.
Nice.
And that's more than the past 3 years combined, which is really a feat, right? I'm happy to see that city council is reminded that their only job isn't just the budget. It's also checking the power of the executive, so the mayor's administration, and also putting forward new laws and, and pieces of legislation. So that was wonderful to be able to be a part of that. Now, with the new council makeup, there is a bit more division and divisiveness this year. And so I was pretty certain come the interview process, once those were scheduled for January 9th, which never happened, I was almost certain that it wasn't going to be Mel or I. It would need to be a consensus candidate out of those other 11 applicants.
So this, I want to talk a little bit about the division.
Yes.
On city council. So the vote previously on Mel was 3-3.
Yes.
So there was no resolution to that, and that was what led to saying we're going to have this process. Is that the right order of?
Yes, essentially. So the only. It's a really interesting thing in city code. The only time the mayor actually gets involved in a vote on city council is if there is a tie on appointment to council.
Wow.
That is the only time. And if a decision isn't made within 30 days between council or the mayor, it actually goes to the County Court of Common Pleas.
Wow.
It's a really interesting provision in our city code. And so on that first meeting of the year, the reorganization meeting for city council on January 3rd, the mayor decided to not make a vote. And so that's what landed us to that quick 24-hour period.
Okay. So now that Mel's been appointed,
yes.
We have a full city council.
Yes.
City council will go about its business. The objections that we have here, though, that I hear coming from you and many others, really have nothing to do with Mel Witherspoon.
Correct.
This is not an issue of we picked the wrong person, or this is about the process.
Yes.
Which is kind of happening everywhere.
Yes.
We've just had this going on in the county with things that Brenton Davis has been doing that are just basically making decision by fiat without public input. Am I correct in saying that this is really the big issue here?
Yes, I would say it's twofold. So that's the number one issue. But government, to be effective, has to be open and transparent.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's Democrats or Republicans or independents leading the charge. You have to adhere to precedent. Even if it's not written in city code, you need to adhere to that precedent. And so there's that part of it. The second part of it that is of deep concern to a lot of folks, especially us governance nerds within the community, is the violation of the spirit of the law around term limits. And so the city solicitor has taken a really broad interpretation of our term limit laws. It states that you cannot have more than three consecutive terms on council.
Which Mel was termed out, basically.
Correct. He could not run in this last election in 2023. Now, the solicitor's office has really, you know, you always hope that those offices aren't political, but has taken the position that even one, by Mel missing just one meeting, that's a break in his service. But the way the code is written is that it needs to be a full term break. And so what really concerns me is our city taxpayer dollars get lost in a lot of lawsuits in our city. This is a really big concern, and I don't foresee this makeup of council as it is doing their due diligence and tightening up that law in these next 2 years until the next election.
And this is not a battle between the two parties.
Definitely not.
This is not about party.
No.
It's just about, can I say, it seems to be about kind of the old versus the new?
In a way. I would say, more than anything, as I've reflected on this over the last week, party aside, I would say it's a divide between conservative and progressive. And so that doesn't always show up in neat lines between Republicans and Democrats. I think you can have spectrums of those within both parties. And so there was a lot of progress that happened last year. And there's a lot of fear that that momentum would continue or expand. And so this was really a legal grab of power, which we're seeing a lot at the county, and I'm concerned at the level that would happen at the city.
Now, I'm going to say this because I don't know Mel Witherspoon, so I have no idea about the man as a politician or his character or any of those kinds of things. But it feels like that there might have been some conspiring going, and I'm not a conspiracy guy either, but conspiring going on behind the scenes to make this happen so that Mel could keep his seat.
Absolutely.
In spite of the laws.
Absolutely. And I do feel for Mel in a lot of ways. And I said this in council, it was an honor to serve with him. And him and I both talked on that last council meeting on December 20th about afterwards. We sat for a couple hours in the caucus room, a few of us, and talked about what we learned from each other. And there was so much I learned from him. And I was so surprised when he said he learned a couple things from me. And so I think that's how an effective legislative branch works, is that we're all representing different parts of our community. And given that we're all at large, right? It's not like county council where you're representing a certain geographical area. We have this weird thing in the city where we're all at large. And so we're really just representing our communities that we have connection to. And so there was so much wisdom and experience that was brought there. And I feel for Mel in a way that he is a pawn in this. And even though he is a great statesman, absolutely, there was definitely a feeling at that December 20th meeting of, this is a retirement. And I went to his retirement party 2 days later, and there was that feel. And so I'm concerned at how we're using people to play a larger chess game of blocking progress in the city of Erie.
Yeah. Well, we live in that time.
We do. We certainly do.
There's a lot of fear operating out there and holding on to the past, and what we've had is in very much, I think, and I'm an old guy, so it is very much an obstacle to our society as a whole, not just the city of Erie, moving to a healthier place, a place where we can have a culture that embraces all people.
Yes.
Where we can take seriously the issues that we've been kicking down the road for years, decades, because those issues, and I think about things like climate change.
Absolutely.
And we're still wrestling with race in this city and across the country.
No doubt.
these are things that we have not addressed for the longest time. And in fact, we've built walls around those so yes. that we don't have to address them. They bury them in the sand and ignore those. And I see a wonderful cohort of young leaders stepping in. You are one of them. Tyler Titus is one of them. Jasmine Flores. There's, and business leaders as well, just
Absolutely.
Across this city.
Yes.
I have no patience with people who put down our young people in this culture.
Thank you.
In this city, because we have so many amazing young people who are doing really important things. But my take on those young people is that they see the things that need to be addressed. Their future is at stake, and we're ignoring those things to our own peril, but more so to the peril of our children and grandchildren.
Yes.
So how do we handle, what do we do about this going forward?
There's a lot.
Solve all the problems of the
My
culture
magic
for
wand
me right
says,
now.
Yes. So I think 2024, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Erie, mm-hmm. right? And so NBC has already said we're one of, I believe, 6 counties that will be followed at a national level. We're going to have media teams here. What are we putting forward of our local governance yeah. that is going to be highlighted nationally? So I'm really concerned if we go back to another year of 3 pieces of legislation and there's open vacancies on boards and authorities and, you know, seeing Jasmine Flores rise to presidency of city council was such an accomplishment, which the Office of Communications in the city has released nothing about. She's both the youngest and the first Latina president of council in our city's history. I mean, she truly, and I got to say it, she made history, right?
Yeah.
And there's been nothing. The silence is loud. And so I'm really curious over this year what not just folks in Erie are going to see about ourselves, but also what folks on the outside, right? So Mayor Schember has this goal of growing the city by 10,000. And I think what would be really wise is to get folks like young professionals and remote workers who want a four-season climate or want to come here to just ski in the winter. You know, say they're part of the time in Erie and they buy property and they rent it out, whatever it is. There's some really great strategic initiatives that could happen to grow our population. Mm. Every time I've asked the mayor about his plans for it, there's no plans, there's just a hope. And so with that extra attention we're going to have this year and it being a presidential election, which always means there's higher voter turnout, I think there's some potential to look at things like ballot initiatives or ballot questions. Pennsylvania really underutilizes those. I loved that in California where my ballot was often pages and pages long because the public would get to directly vote on a decision. And so I would love to see that at the state level about raising our minimum wage. Every state that borders us has a higher minimum wage than us. But at the city and county level, we could really vote for, do you agree with these revisions to the term limit laws? Do you agree? Like, that doesn't have to be a decision made by 7 people. That could be voted on by the public. And we're going to have a year with higher voter turnout. So that's really what I'm exploring right now is what is the petition process for those ballot questions? And how could we, you know, council and the mayor circumvented the public. How could the public circumvent the mayor and council and have the public really have their say on these issues?
Yeah. So how do we do that?
Well,
how do we,
yes,
as the citizenry, I mean, one of the taglines to our program, Marcus's program, Next 2.0, is to be talking about what's next for our community,
yes,
and our democracy. And a lot of us, if you listen to this program at all, last week, Marcus and I and Mark Blunt spent the hour and a half that we were together fretting about the future and depressing one another. And our democracy is being threatened.
Yes.
And I know the players here, that's not their goal, to threaten democracy.
No.
But we fall into these patterns.
Exactly.
So, which is another reason why young people with fresh eyes and fresh energy are an important aspect of this, allowing them to lead. How do we, as the citizenry, participate in this process in ways, not so much that circumvent, but to sort of force our legislators to address issues that really are of immense importance that we're burying our heads on or are closing our eyes to.
So I'll go back to really a full circle moment, and it's about paying attention. And energy goes, you know, energy flows where attention goes. And that is always my mantra in so many ways. And I really do believe that getting involved in the public process as much as possible and getting, it's civic engagement, right? And so one change that we made legislatively last year on council was bumping up the time of the evening council meeting. So it used to be 7:30. Those meetings sometimes would, there were times I wasn't getting home until 11:30 or midnight. And folks who were watching the live stream, you know, you get up in the morning, you're like, well, that was a really late night. So one thing we did, it's not a huge change, but we bumped those up to 6:30 this year. And so I would say for really anyone, I encourage you to come and sit in the council chambers, even if you don't give public comment, right? Any member of the public can speak for up to 5 minutes at the start of the meeting. Even if you give public comment and leave, at least you're expressing yourself and you're part of that forum. And I think back to ancient Greece and the first democratic forums are city council chambers within City Hall at 626 State Street. That's our forum. That is our public forum. And so joining on our next one is Wednesday the 17th at 6:30 p.m. It's the third Wednesday in the evening. It's the first Wednesday at 9 a.m. If that sounds a little boring to you, bring a book with you, bring your crosswood puzzle, whatever it is, but come and sit there, right? We have to hold our members, our elected officials accountable. And so I think it's about finding what works for you, whether that is giving service hours at your church or community center, whether that's helping with voter registration drives, whether that's mentoring and talking to young people about wanting to get involved. Because right now, I was just with two young women, they're in their early 20s earlier this week, and they told me, what's the point in voting, Susanna? What's the point in voting? Because I thought this didn't happen at the local level. I can dismiss the federal level because I know there's corruption there. I didn't think this would happen here. And they've only been voters for less than 5 years, and they're already in that place of despair. So how can we find the way in your community that you can create hope around the democratic process and getting involved? That's the most important thing this year.
Even just this particular issue that just happened, this event, if you take that as a motivation rather than as a discouragement.
100%.
So instead of saying, well, that process is just going to be what it's going to be, let's get involved and vote.
Yes.
The Americans don't recognize just what a privilege it is to be able to have a say. And the biggest way you have a say is to vote. And you can't tell me that I've just been reading a book about the 2022 elections and the great wave of red that was supposedly going to descend on us.
Right.
But the voters, especially young people, came out in record numbers, and they changed that. They didn't allow the system to just kind of continue to do what it had always done. They stopped that inertia.
Right.
But that's not a one-time thing. We have to keep on doing that. So our friend Mark Blunt's always saying, get out and vote. There's nothing more important that you can do.
Agreed. And it's the bare minimum.
It is the bare minimum.
I think is what I'm really trying to drive home with all the young people that I get to teach and mentor and talk to, is that you vote twice a year, every year. There's no such thing as an off year. That's not a thing. And it's really important to know as well, for our state, for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, our primary date actually got bumped up. So it used to be mid-May, and this year it's going to be April 23rd. And so that is truly around the corner.
It really is, yeah.
And so while there's not a ton of of local races this year. That's 2025 is going to be huge spotlight, right? County executive, city council, the mayor, that's going to be enormous. If we can focus this presidential year and get organized, turn folks out, get folks registered, teach folks how to vote, ensure they have transportation to the all the things, all the things, right? Request that mail-in ballot, whatever it is. We have to get everyone participating.
Yeah. And because of the things that we've been talking about, you hear this every year now. This is the most important election in your lifetime. Well, the reality is that it's kind of like that with each election right now.
Yes.
There may have been times in the past when it wasn't like that, when we were just kind of continuing what we were doing. But we're fighting culture wars and, and wars for battles for the future of our democracy at every election.
Yes, and so, at every level of elections. It's not just federal.
Absolutely.
It's every level because what starts at the local trickles all the way up.
Absolutely it does. So I want to say thanks for coming, Susanna.
Absolutely. Thank
you. Finding your way to our broadcast center today.
We're making it work.
I really look forward to the future in this city. I tell people all the time where I'm from, and I say, oh, you don't know how great a city Erie is. Mm-hmm. There's so many great things happening here, so many great young people here. And let's just hope that this is a little bump in the road that allows us to do a little bit of self-reflection and go forward in a healthier, more democratic, more transparent way.
Yes.
This is Chuck Camerata for Next 2.0. We'll see you next time.
Next is produced by the Public Voice Media. If you want to know more about Next 2.0, go to Facebook and like the page. Follow us on Instagram at Next 2.0 Erie. There you can keep up with upcoming show promos, events, and clips about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Remember, Next 2.0 streams on Fridays on all major podcast platforms and the fourth Sunday of the month at 4 p.m. on WQLN NPR 91.3 FM.